हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम सदाशिव समारंभाम् व्यास शंकर मध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्ताम् वंदे गुरु परंपराम् श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादं शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः। ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ब्रह्मानंदं परमसुखदं केवलं ज्ञानमूर्तिं द्वन्द्वातीतं गगनसदृशं तत्त्वमस्यादिलक्ष्यं एकं नित्यं विमलमचलं सर्वधी साक्षीभूतं भावातीतं त्रिगुणरहितं सद्गुरुं तं नमामि। ओम सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांति। वी एनालाइज्ड द ह्यूमन पर्स्यूट्स एंड वी अंडरस्टूड वी नीड टू सीक things which make us feel secure in order to live the life, and we need to pursue pleasures to live this life. But we remember very well, we know very well what we are not living this life for, simply the enjoyment of pleasures or simply for seeking things which make us feel secure. We do pursue things which make us feel secure to live the life. We do enjoy pleasures to live the life. But we are living this life for a definitely a different purpose. That purpose of discovering the fullness, the limitlessness, which is there already as our own real nature. And for discovering that fullness which is already there, we need to be mentally prepared. Because discovery of anything abstract needs much subtler, sharper mind. Therefore, the mind has to be qualified, prepared in terms of purity and steadiness. Agitation-free, impurity-free mind is required for that discovery. And for which our Shastram prescribes a lifestyle called living a life of Karma Yoga. As part of our teaching, we also understood as any knowledge is definitely dependent on a given means of knowledge. This knowledge of the truth of the universe As the knowledge of the truth of one's own self is also dependent on a given means of knowledge called Shastram. And this Shastram has to be studied with the help of a competent teacher who knows the method of unfoldment. Therefore, in the context of analysis of the pursuits, we understood the importance of studying the Vedanta. At the same time, we also understood the importance of studying with a competent teacher who knows the teaching methodology. And even if we have this teacher and the scripture, Vedanta, still we need to be mentally qualified. That qualification is mental purity and steadiness, for which the only way is to live a life of karma yoga. And last class, I think two classes, we discussed the karma yoga, what it means by saying living a life of karma yoga. A person who lives a life of karma yoga is the one who knows his ultimate end being discovery of freedom, fullness, happiness, which is already there as one's own nature, which is actually the discovery of the truth of the universe also, or discovery of the Lord also, we can say. And thereby, the one who is committed to the pursuit of the knowledge of the truth. And he is the real spiritual person. Without being committed to the pursuit of knowledge, one cannot claim oneself to be a spiritual person. If you ask me, who is a spiritual person? What do you mean by spirituality? You know, who is a spiritual person? This really, a person becomes a spiritual person only when he becomes clear about his end being moksha. And that is something which is discoverable in this life itself. But it needs commitment and conviction. Thereby, one who, knowing the value of the knowledge of the truth, one who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge of the truth, or one who is committed to the knowledge of the truth of oneself, is really a spiritual person. And such a person in Sanskrit language is called Jignasu Bhaktaha. He is also said to be a real devotee. Why I am talking about devotee here? Because people are confused about what does it mean by saying being devoted to the Lord. If you worship the Lord, if you pray to the Lord, what you expect from the Lord through your prayer and worship is your peace and happiness. And our scriptures make it very clear. Happiness is not to be attained by any action. It is something to be discovered as your real nature. And for which you need grace. And for grace means you need to, for knowledge, you need grace. Without grace, you cannot find a teacher, you cannot find teaching, and you cannot even have the qualification required. For everything, you need grace. Therefore, this karma yogi, as a spiritual person, he is worshipful and prayerful. A real spiritual person who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge definitely will be seeking grace by remaining prayerful and worshipful also, along with the adequate efforts. And not only that, it is impossible for one to have that mental purity, the mental calmness, without living a life of values. Therefore, knowing the value of values, one who is committed to live a life of values is an ethical person. As a spiritual person, he is religious as well as ethical. And what should he pray to? What should he pray for? What should he pray for? So he is praying to the Lord. And when he prays, as well, last class I told you, I think all of you can make it your regular prayer. And prayer, you need not have any doubt at all. Prayer will be 100% effective if you have faith in what you are praying for. As an intelligent person, as a mature person, as a spiritual person, as a religious person, as spiritually religious person, as living an ethical life, one who is praying to Bhagavan, definitely his prayer is what? O Lord, please bless me with the knowledge of right and wrong. Please bless me with the knowledge and the strength, the capacity to choose to do the right, to avoid the wrong. And please bless me with the knowledge of what I can change and what I cannot change. Please bless me with the knowledge, the capacity, strength to change what I can intelligently, prudently, and to accept gracefully what I cannot. This is a well-thought expressed prayer. A prayer expressed, conveyed very thoughtfully. You know what you are praying for. You know why you are praying for. And with this prayer, a person, when he lives a life of dharma, he also has the proper attitude of offering everything to Ishvara. The performance of actions in conformity with dharma, with an attitude of offering to Bhagavan, Isharpana Buddhihi. And whatever comes in life, also accepting them with sameness of mind as gift from the Lord, thereby entertaining the sameness of mind with the prasada buddhihi. And this converts one's life into a life of karma yoga. We saw that last class. In the previous class you've seen, just repeat it today, little bit. Then we also saw the knowledge, the scripture as a means of knowledge helps you discover the truth, and using its own methodology. And I said, it does not tell you directly what you are. Because to know the truth of the universe, you need to know the truth of yourself. Which means you do not know what you are. And you do not know that you do not know what you are. Therefore, you need to know what you are. And for which? Because knowing what you are is knowing what the truth of the universe is. And what does the Shastram do? it tells you what you are not, thereby it helps you arrive at what you are. I've finished the old lessons, I've come to the new lesson. And here it starts like this. The whole world of objects, the external world of objects, the things external to your senses or are perceived through your senses in 5 different forms as 5 different objects. There is no 6th object in the world. Form, color, shape, light, all visible, perceptible through eyes, sound perceptible through ears, smell perceptible only through the nose, taste perceptible through the tongue, touch, cold or heat, perceptible through the skin. There is external world of objects, however vast it is, inexplicably vast universe can be reduced to a world of 5 different objects known through 5 different senses, recognized through 5 different senses. So they are known objects. And from the standpoint of those objects, you are the knower. You are the knower, and those, the world external to the external world is known. So the external known world of objects is Drishya Prapanchaha. Drishyam means seen, known, observed, understood, cognized, perceived. And you are the knower, you are the experiencer, you are the perceiver, you are the observer. And you know, experiencer is the subject of experience. Experienced is an object of experience. Knower is the subject of knowledge. Known is the object of knowledge. You are the knower. The world is the known. Means form, color, sound, taste, touch. They are all known objects. You are very clear. The knower, the subject of knowledge, is different from the known object's form, color, taste, sound, touch. There's no doubt. You never mistake the known form, known light, known color, known shape, known sound, heard sound, seen light, smelt fragrance, tasted sweetness or bitterness, tasted objects, you know, felt heat or cold. You never mistake the objects for you, the knower. You are very clear. I am the knower. They are all known to me, known by me. They are different from me. I am different from them. Subject of knowledge is different from the known objects of known object is no known objects of knowledge. And it's called what? No, Drik Drishya Viveka Prakriya. This is the basic fundamental methodology used in teaching Vedanta, the first methodology. Prakriya means the method of unfoldment, And the last class, I introduced four different words. Pramata, the knower. Pramanam, the means of knowledge. Pramata, the subject of knowledge, knower. Pramanam, the means of knowledge. Prameyam, object of knowledge. And Prama or Pramitihi mean knowledge. Now, I am the Pramata, the knower. My eyes are the Pramanam. Light is the Prameyam. Now, in my mind, there is Pramitihi, Prama, knowledge. What is that I have? There is light. There is no darkness. There is light. This is the Prama or Pramitihi. Now, you differentiate here. The Pramata, the knower, is different from even the means of knowledge. Isn't it? Pramanam, the instrument of knowledge, and object of knowledge, and the knowledge. The one who is endowed with the knowledge is the Pramata, the knower. The knower is different from the known, instrument of knowledge, and even the knowledge. Isn't it clear? The knower, Pramata, is different from Prameyam, object of knowledge, Pramanam, the instrument of knowledge, and Pramitihi, the knowledge. Is it clear? Don't worry about it. This we'll discuss clearly later on. Now I want to understand. Definitely, we never mistake the known for the knower. I am the knower, I am different from, I the knower, am different from the known perceived world of objects, perceived objects. How clear we are. And what our Shastram uses, we in English language, we have these pronouns. When do we use the pronoun that? When do we use the pronoun this, singular or plural also? Those and these, or that and this. Why there is a purpose, isn't it? If there is no purpose, we wouldn't have had two pronouns, isn't it? We could have just had it. We have that, we have another pronoun, this also. This also is a pronoun, that also is a pronoun. Why do we use these two different pronouns? Because these objects which are perceived, known, if they are far from you, then you need to use the pronoun that. If the known object is not far from you, relatively nearer to you, then you have to use the pronoun this. But do you use the pronoun I? When you say that is Sue, that is Amma, that is Kapadi uncle, for, and this is David, this is Dr. Valsraj, that is Sati, and that is red car, uncle's car, and this is Mike. Why we use this, that and this? When I show that object or this object, an object which is far from me or near me, I use only carefully that or this. I do not use the pronoun I. Isn't it? Because it's very close. Mic is so close to me. Can I say I am the mic? Even then I don't say I there. I'm saying what? Because very, very close to me. Even then I don't use that. I change the pronoun. I use this. Therefore, what does it mean? Any object, anything indicated by or indicated using the pronoun that or this is an object of knowledge different from me. I am the knower, subject of knowledge. Different from any object indicated by the pronoun that or this, whether far or near. Just because it is very close, this object, I don't take it far, I don't use the pronoun I use the pronoun this, not I. Is it clear? Therefore, now anything known is an object of knowledge, but I use the pronoun that or this in keeping with the distance of that object from me. So, relatively, Nandini is far from me. That is Nandini, do you all know? I introduce her, and this is David is relatively near. This is David, this is laptop, no, this is Dakshinamurti, this is Vyasaha, this is Shadashankar Bhagavatpada, this is Pujya Swami Dayanandaji. As closer, I use this. I know this is my shawl. You all know this is my shawl. This is the orange shawl sannyasis wear. This is my shawl. Much closer to me, I use this is my shawl. And this is my robes. I use this. Why? Relatively much closer. This is my head. These are my ears. This is my nose. These are my eyes. This is my forehead. Don't think I'm doing kindergarten class, huh? What is Swamiji's teaching is all parts of the body, as if we don't know. And these are my cheeks, this is my chin, and this is my neck, this is my back, this is my front, these are my thighs, these are my shanks, these are my feet, these are my toes, and these are my fingers, and these are my palms, and these are my hands, and these are my arms, and these are my nails. This is my hair. I used to plural, I used to singular, in keeping the number of parts. Which is body here? Head alone is not the body. But without the head, there is no body. Hands alone are not the body, but without the hands, there is no body. Trunk alone is not the body, but without the trunk, there can't be a body. All these different parts together constitute an individual human body. And each part of the body is what? No. Is indicatable by a pronoun, through a pronoun, this or these. What do you understand? Anything indicated by pronoun, this or these, is an object of knowledge. And I am the knower, I the knower am the subject of knowledge different from the known object of knowledge. Therefore, this human, individual human body, which is a constituent of so many parts, and which each part is indicated using the pronoun this. We can say this is a body. Nearest, much nearer, nearer than my shawl. Therefore, this physical body, we call it a heavy body. Not only you all perceive this body, I perceive this body. I see this body through physical eyes. I touch this body. It is touched. This is seen. It is smelt also. Therefore, no doubt, this physical body is an object of knowledge. And I am the knower, different from this known object of knowledge. Therefore, definitely, I, the knower, am not the physical body. It is not to say I am not the body, not to talk. We should never say I am not the body outside, okay? It is only for understanding. When in day-to-day conversation, we should not say, I am not the body. We should be very careful. It's only for understanding, analysis. Therefore, I know I am not the mic, I am not the laptop, I am not anything here. I can say I am a human being, different from all of them. I am a woman, different from other human beings. Now I have to say what? No, definitely, I, the knower, am different from the known physical body, which is gross and perceptible, heavy. This is the first negation. So, Shastram does not directly tell you what you are. It is very important to understand what I am not first. Why? Because in day-to-day life, for many, many years, even in the previous lives, we have been having strong notion. We have been, this I sense in the body so rooted. Our identity with the body is so strong. Deha abhimanaha is very strong and rooted. It's not that easy. It is not for really saying I'm not the body. It is for understanding we have to really, we are using this methodology here. We are thinking, isn't it true? First you have, it is called first negation. I, the knower, am different from the body. Different, I am the knower different from the mic means, between mic and me, you know, there is physical, me, because why there is a physical distance, I say? Because when I say I am, because I take the body as I, therefore I say what? There is distance between me and the mic. Really speaking, there is no physical distance between I, the knower, and the physical body. There is no distance. What is the distance between water and the wave? There is no distance. What is the distance between light and the opaque? No distance. Similarly, I, the knower, am different from the known physical body, but there is no distance. Therefore, I am distinct from the body, but I am not distant from the body. Is it clear? I, the knower, am distinct from the body, but I am not distant from the body. Is it clear or not? And this is called, in Sanskrit language, we call it sthula shariram. This physical body is called sthula shariram, gross body. And what is this body made of? We can study that also. This sthula shariram is nothing but modified form of the food. All our bread and sandwiches and butter has become what? Our weight, physical weight. Wheat became, all the elements are there involved in earth, and earth became plant, plant became the wheat, wheat became flour, flour became bread, bread became our flesh and blood. So the physical body is nothing but modified form of food. I am going to introduce to you the text called Tattva Bodha later on. Then I am going to elaborately explain to you. We will study all these things systematically. But now I want to understand this much. Now this sthula shariram, so not only this, now will go inside this physical body. There is indwelling another body. We call it body, but it is not, it doesn't have a form. There are, I don't want to say in the body, there are indwelling subtle aspects. And the subtle aspects alone make this gross body alive and conscious. And we call those subtle aspects, all subtle aspects which indwell this gross body, because of which this gross body becomes conscious and alive. And the subtle aspects together constitute the subtle body or astral body. In Sanskrit language, we call it sukshma shariram. Sukshma shariram literally means subtle body, astral body. But we have to remember very carefully, the subtle body, because we use the word body, we should not think it has a form. It has no form. The subtle body assumes the form of the gross body. And what are those subtle aspects which constitute the subtle body? There are 16 aspects. 16 factors which constitute subtle body. And why do I use the word subtle? I call this external body as gross because it is perceptible, available for sense perception. Whereas subtle, when I use, say, it is imperceptible. The subtle aspects indwelling the gross body, different parts of the gross body. Subtle aspects, different aspects indwell the different parts of the gross body. But subtle aspects are imperceptible. They cannot be perceived through senses. All our physical bodies are perceptible by all of us, perceived by all of us. But our subtle aspects are known to us. Everyone can know one's own subtle aspects. They are available for one's own understanding, but others cannot perceive. Even you cannot yourself perceive your subtle aspects through senses, but they are available for your understanding. That is why these we call it subtle body. Sukshmam means subtle. Subtle means what? What do you mean subtle? Not available for sense perception. Anything not available for sense perception is subtle. Now let us see what are those subtle aspects. There are five subtle sense powers indwelling five different physical parts, and they are called Jnana Indriyani. Indriyam means power. Jnana Indriyam means sense power. We have five different sense powers obtaining in five different physical parts. And the physical part wherein each subtle sense power indriyam obtains, the physical part is called Golakam. This differentiation of physical part and the sense power, you know, is only found only in Sanskrit language. I don't know whether other languages you have words. Golakam is a physical part. The indriyam is the imperceptible subtle power, sense power. For example, I tell you all the five. This, now we have eyes, eyeballs. These eyes are the golakam. Eye is a golakam, physical part. And there we have the power of seeing. Seeing power. Is it clear now? We generally use the word sense organ. Seeing power is there. This is the golakam. And the seeing power is called indriyam. So the golakam is part of the gross physical body. And what we have, the seeing power is the indriyam, which is subtle power, which is imperceptible. You all can see my eyeballs. You all can see my white part of the eye. You all can see my eyelids. But can you see my seeing power? No. But you understand. Because Swami is staring at all of us, I think she can see. She has, her eyes have seeing power. You make out, you assume. How? Because you know what is seeing power. All your eyes have seeing power. Can you see? If I say, ask you, you'll all say what? Yes or no? You will say yes. Yes, I can see. Which means you know whether your eyes can see or not. You know whether your eyes can see or not. Which means your seeing power. when you go to the doctor ophthalmologist, and after the eye checkup, the person in charge of that, you know, the who has to fix your lenses, and what is your power, the doctor writes and gives, and they will change different lenses. And however clever the doctor is, however clever the technician is, however efficient the machine is, the instrument is, and they put your eyes like this, check up everything, eye pressure they can check everything, the cataract they can check, but when the question of power comes, okay, is it right? Okay, no, not, correct, read it, big letter, small letter, tiny letter, they change different things. You have to say whether your eyes see or not. Your power they cannot know. Your power is known to you. They do not know. Is it clear why they cannot know? Imperceptible, subtle. Can you describe how your power is? How powerful your eyes are? Can you write a poetry on seeing power? Can you describe using your words? Or can you draw, paint and show how your seeing power is? Nothing. All that you can see is, I can see or I cannot see. Isn't it true? Which means, your seeing power, I ask you, how do you know you can see? Your eyes can see. You will say what? I know my eyes see. I say, come on. Oh, no, I don't believe you. Your eyes do not see. You don't see this. You will say, you'll be angry. Why? How can you tell me? I know my eyes see. Which means your seeing power is known to you. Is it clear? Indriyam. Similarly, each sense organ, there is a power. Ears are the golakam. There is a hearing power. You know whether your ears can hear or not. Whether you are deaf or not, seeing your nice ear or the earring, we cannot make out. If you come like this, we can make out. But you only know whether you can hear or not. Which means your hearing power is known to you. Your seeing power is known to you. Your power of smelling is known to you. Whenever you have cold, you know, this common cold, jaladoshaha, we call it, common cold or running nose, blocked nose, that is the time you cannot make out any smell. And you will say, I can't differentiate the lemon smell or asafoetida smell or nice fragrance of roses or perfumes. I can't differentiate the smells and fragrances. Why? Because I have blocked nose. Blocked nose. Is it? Which means the power of smelling is known to you. Your power of taste is known to you. Salt is less or more, you immediately you tell. It's a power of taste in your tongue. Your tongue is a golakam. The power of taste is what? Is indriyam. So also power of touch. The heat and the cold. How warm it is. How cold it is. You can say the power of touch. All these five different sense powers. Obtaining in five different golakams. Sense organs. You know. All these five powers are subtle, imperceptible. You can understand now. I'm not telling anything new. I'm only just bringing to light what you already know. If five sense powers are known to you, therefore You are the knower, and the sense powers are known to you, known by you. Therefore, you are different from, distinct from, though not distant, you are distinct from I, the knower, am, distinct from the known sense powers. You have to think well. That's why you say my hearing power, my seeing power, my power of taste, power of touch, power of smelling. You learn all Sanskrit terms when you start the actual text. Now, these are called Pancha Jnana Indriyani, five sense powers. Now, we have what now? Then, five powers of organs of actions called Karma Indriyani. Hands are very important parts of action. We use hands so much in our physical activity. So, Karma Indriyani, hands, two hands. There is a power. You see the physical hand here, but do you know whether there is power of action, in these two hands? I can shift, I can lift, I can move, I can hold, I can fold, I can expand, I can contract, I can move. Which means there's a power. That power obtaining in his hands is one power of organ of action. Similarly, there is our legs, very important for our physical activity. And the power, you can see the legs and shanks, but do you see the power in the legs? You don't see it through physical eyes. When somebody is sitting there, the paralyzed person, when you see the legs, you think, oh, nice legs. But you can't make out how powerful the legs are. But when you see somebody running, jogging in the morning. So there's power in the obtaining in the legs. One more jnana, karma indriyam. Our legs form one karma indriyam. Our hands form one karma indriyam, organ of action. And each organ of action, there is subtle, imperceptible power. Power in hands, power in legs. Then third, the organ of speech. Organ of speech is a physical body, physical part. So speaking is an action, this organ of speech. And there, we know the organ of speech, but the power obtaining in that organ of speech, act of speaking, that power is another karma indriyam, power of action. Three powers, three karma indriyani, three powers of organs of actions. Legs, hands, organ of speech. Now, reproductory organ is another organ of action. And there is a power obtaining in that reproductory organ without which that particular action is not possible. You don't see through physical eyes, you understand the power. Then excretory organ, there is a power again, organ of evacuation or excretion, excretory organ, there is a power. All these physical organs of actions And in each organ of action, there's a subtle, imperceptible power. And you know those powers. Those powers are known, your powers are known to you. Is it true or not? You just think and tell me, don't simply say. The power obtaining in each organ of action, hands, legs, organ of speech, excretory organ, reproductory organ, in all the five organs of actions, there are subtle powers, that there is each organ is a subtle power, and each power is known to you or not. Known means you can't see through physical eyes. See, your own powers, you cannot see through your own physical eyes. But they are available for understanding, your understanding, you understand. They are available for your understanding, but you cannot see perceive your own sense powers through sense organs. That is why we call them sukshma indriyani, subtle powers. Is it clear? Do you understand these powers now? Five subtle, imperceptible powers of organs of actions. Five subtle, imperceptible powers of sense organs. Sense powers otherwise. 5 plus 5, 10 powers. Now we come to 5 physiological functions. Pancha pranaha. See, there are 5 functions constantly happening. Not even one function should stop. When? It started when? From day 1. Even before the body came out of the mother's womb, it was functioning. But the minute the body came out of mother's womb, from the time you were born, these physiological functions have been happening in your system, the whole body. And when should it stop? It should not stop. The day it stops, then you cannot talk to others. Our relatives and friends will start calling each other. So the physiological functions, what are they? One vital air, one prana, is involved in 5 different functions. Therefore, we give one prana 5 different names. Though there 5 pranas are not sitting there, only one air. No, involved in 5 different functions. So, pranaha. Is the prana which governs the function of respiration, inhalation and exhalation. So respiratory system is governed by pranaha. One physiological function of respiration, involving both inhalation and exhalation. Do you see through physical eyes? Do you see? Is it even if you open somebody's, even then you cannot see how function is happening, you cannot see. Impossible, you can understand. It's happening. If you don't know, if you say, I don't understand respiration means, hold your tightly here, tight, close your mouth also, you'll understand what it is. It means it's available for understanding, but you can't perceive. Imperceptible, but understandable. Okay, next. Then, apanaha is the function of excretion. All the unwanted from the body has to be pushed out. Of the organ of excretory organ is different. But one air is involved in the function of excretion. The excretory system is governed by, you know, apanaha. Apanaha is the name given to the function of excretion. So function, all involuntary functions, which means our will is not required involved. We don't need to instruct, come on, go, inhale oxygen, come push the carbon dioxide outside. Okay, it naturally happens. That's why involuntary functions. So respiration, then this apanaha excretion, then circulation is governed by vyanaha. The function of circulation, the circulatory system is governed by vyanaha. From this small little heart, the blood has to go to all the entire physical body. It's a fantastic pipe system, connection system. Even the blocks are there sometimes and pushing, somehow managing. As long as the possible, they move. Okay. Somehow circulatory system is very well governed. And we know very, of course, whatever little biology you have studied in school, you all know how the blood goes there and the dirty blood is goes there. One side blood gets cleansed and then it goes all over the body. Oh, all the time, you know, the unclean blood has to go there and the cleaned blood has to again go to the system. When does it stop? Day and night. Not even one fraction of second rest. Continuous. You have to see, think about all these things. To see the Lord being manifest in the mouth of knowledge. You know, we'll talk about it later on. So here, we never think how precious, how amazing, so much of knowledge is involved in every system. You know, so circulation, function of circulation is governed by vyanaha. So you have learnt now, pranaha, apanaha, vyanaha. Now comes the function of digestion. Whichever problem you have to invoke the grace of a given prana. Pulmonary problems, then you have to seek the grace of prana. Excretory problems, invoke the apana. Digestive problems, samanaha. Samam nayati iti samanaha. The food is eaten, but digested, and afterwards the entire body now get converted into blood. Of course, it goes everywhere. No, it has to be properly digested, and all this nothing to be absorbed. Then the unwanted has to be pushed out also, isn't it? Digestive system is governed by samanaha. Then udanaha is a special function. Retentive, the function of retention. Retentive system is governed by udanaha. What is retentive system? This udanaha is blessed with, you know, the gravitational force, which means it retains all the pranas in the system. The udana will be there. Whenever any problem with any of the pranas, udana will go for help. Otherwise, it will be there like a substitute. And whenever anything foreign, suddenly something goes in which doesn't agree with the system or something, what is that regularly unwanted is pushed out, taken care of by apana. Occasionally some food poisons happen and some vomiting sensation comes. So all suddenly pushed out his body. Who acts? Udana. He won't keep quiet. Udana comes up and takes charge. That's why our system is the best of its, you know, everything is naturally taken care of. In spite of that, because of abuses alone, we fall sick, really speaking. Our sickness is purely because of our own abuse. Otherwise, the nature has put it so, it takes care of our health so well. So, Udana is, you know, governs the retentive system, the function of retention. So, this all the five different functions, now we understand, do you see them through physical eyes? Can you touch them? Can you smell them? All the functions are happening, but to understand the functions are happening. All the five are happening. Well, that's why you're comfortably sitting here. You don't feel suffocated. Why I'm saying here, these five pranas are known. And so these 15 aspects plus mind, the 16th aspect, all these 16 aspects together form the sukshma shariram, the subtle body. That's why you have to be very careful here. Subtle, none of these subtle aspects is perceptible, has form. If a subtle, even though we use the term sukshma shariram, subtle body, they do not have, no, it does not have the form, formless. Gross body has form, subtle body does not have form. Okay, it assumes the form of a human shariram, human body, it indwells the human body. Now we have to come to the next. All these 15 aspects are known. Now we'll come to time. Okay. We have mind. This mind is called antahkaranam. The Sanskrit term is antahkaranam. Means mind. What is this mind? Mind, we talk very, people, everybody talks. Mind is a big thing. Always we mind the mind. See, mind is a constituent of varieties of thought modifications. Why do I use the term thought modifications? Vritti parinamanam samuhaha. Vritti nam samuhaha. Because these thoughts, what is a thought? Thought again, I can tell you, make you understand. You understand the thoughts, you can never describe a thought, draw a thought, paint a thought. You cannot perceive the thought, but thoughts are subtle, much subtler aspects. And all varieties of thoughts form the mind. So you understand all the thoughts put together is mind. And this mind, again, all the thoughts, each thought of the mind is known. For example, if I ask you, where are you? You're all listening to me. I do believe that you're all paying attention to my teaching, what I'm talking. And suddenly I see somebody dozing. And somebody is not dozing, but staring at me like this. And then I think, my God, this person without even winking the eyes, listening to me so carefully. So I ask, I'm very happy you are listening to me. Suddenly the person understands. What did you say, Swamini? Why? Because the person is staring at me. No, you did not listen what I said? No. Why? Because I was thinking of what my daughters are doing at home. They're preparing for the exam or not. Or what are they doing? Are they watching television? Are doing homework? Are they, I don't know whether they ate dinner or not. I was thinking of them. And here, but where are you? Body is here, mind is there. And ask, how do you know? I'm sorry, physically I was present here, mentally I was not present here. How do you know your mind was not here? I know, that's why I didn't listen. You know where your mind is present. You know where your mind is absent. That is why you know why the mind did not grasp, register. Which means the mind presence, where the mind is present, you know is known to you. Where the mind is absent is known to you. And how immediately the mind came from that place to this place also is known to you. Which means your mind is known. Subtle. You can understand. You know the mind is. But can you say, can you describe anything about the mind? No. But do you know mind is known to you? Yes. Which means your mind also is known to you. We are going to see elaborately this mind next class. Okay, I'll start from the mind next class. At least I want to understand this much. Therefore, your mind is known to you, your sense powers are known to you, your powers of organs of actions are known to you, your physiological functions are known to you as a whole, the entire subtle body is known to you. All the subtle aspects which are imperceptible, which are understandable only by you, your own subtle aspects, they're all known to you. Therefore, you have to say what? I, the knower, am distinct from the known subtle body also, known all the subtle aspects also. I am the knower, I'm not the seeing power. I, the knower, is not, I'm not using am, okay, grammatically it sounds wrong, please bear with me. I, the knower, is not, am not the seeing power, hearing power, known hearing power, known hearing power, seeing powers, the power, sense powers, or I, the knower, am not the known powers of organs of actions. I, the knower, am not even the physiological functions, known physiological functions. I, the knower, am distinct from the known mind. If I, the knower, am not the mind. This is very important. If you have to really make effort to know what is I, the knower, is, what I, the knower, am, to make effort to know, first of all, you should become very clear what I am not. What is I is not. I, the knower, it is not. I, the knower, is not the known body. I, the knower, is not the sense powers. I, the knower, is not the powers of organs of actions. I, the knower, is not the physiological functions. I, the knower, is not, I'm not using am, okay? I, the knower, is not the known mind also. This is the second negation. You can say negation of powers of organs of actions as negation 2. Powers of sense powers, negation of sense powers as negation number 3. And negation of physiological functions as negation number 4. And negation of mind as the 5. Fifth negation also. You have negated all of them. It's easy to negate the gross, but negating the subtle. We never think. Now, body is not only the mic, laptop, etc. are drishyams, the known. No, the physical body is drishyam. I, the self, am the drik, knower. Sense powers are the drishyani, known objects of knowledge. So also powers of organs of actions are also known, the known. Physiological functions are the known. Mind is the known. What about the I, the knower? I, the knower, am distinct from the subtle. So next class when you come, I'll take the mind and from there we analyze, because mind needs very good understanding. I use the term thought vritti parinamaha or thought modification. Suppose your desire, all of us know this desire. What is a desire? Do you have desires? If anybody says no, I will not believe. Do you know what desire is? Very simple. I'm asking. Okay. Of course. Desire for what? That I'm not asking. But desire is, isn't it? Can you say how your desire looks? How does your desire look? None of our desires is describable. We all understand desire. We know we have desires, not one or two. We know, like worms, so many desires. And each desire for anything is a thought. Thought means subtle form, thought form. You only understand thought, you know, desire is in the form of a thought. Desire is one of the forms of the thought. Okay, the thoughts are in many forms. Okay, one form of the thought is a desire. You can just understand what desire is, but you can't describe. You can't perceive, you can't show this out of my desire. You can have desire for something, you can say, but desire itself you cannot reveal. You understand? Anger. Do you all know what anger is? Don't say that also. I won't believe. If I teach in the class after 9 o'clock, then I'll know what you will all show. When you bite your teeth, I'll say, my God, Swamini, I won't come next class. She really makes it headache. Anger. Anger is another form of the thought. Very simple, no? Anger, desire, we know all these things. Hatred, we may not have. Some little hatred we may have. Jealousy, like this is a form of a thought. Jealousy is a given form of a thought, isn't it? Like in all of them are different thoughts. So we're going to see separately thoughts next class. We understand each thought, we'll just take and see. What are all the thoughts constitute the mind? We'll see that. What I'm asking, just tell you one thing. Is your anger known to you or not? At least after anger goes damaging, you know. Your desire is known to you or not? When the jealousy, the discomfort you go through is known to you or not? All the thoughts are known. Your mind is known. Therefore, you are the knower distinct from your own known mind. Therefore, what are you, we'll see next class. What you are not, we have seen little bit. We have yet to see mind, we'll see. And here, in this context, I want to tell you one thing. This sukshma, the subtle body, is indestructible. The body also is not totally destructible. What do we call death then? When the subtle body leaves the physical body, departure of the subtle body from the gross body is called death. When the subtle body leaves the physical body, what happens to subtle body? Nothing. It is indestructible. We'll see later on what happens. But this physical body, then it is dead. Dead means what? It is inert, isn't it? What makes us then inert means like a piece of wood. That is why we have crematorium. Cremated, reduced to ashes. Then what happens? The dampness, the water in the body joins the water element. Heat in the body joins the fire element. The minerals join the earth element. Air joins the air element. Space joins the space. It's called a disintegration. And the fire, death is called panchatva praptihi. The physical body gets disintegrated. All the elements join their corresponding elements. Therefore, there's no total destruction. This change is called relative destruction of the physical body. Okay? In the context, now what you understood? Therefore, I, the knower, am distinct, different from the known gross physical body. And a subtle body leaves, departs means the departed subtle body is not transactable. The subtle body is transactable only when it indwells the gross body. And because it is imperceptible, after it leaving, not the person who left the physical body also cannot transact, like in sleep. After that, it's like the person, how you are in sleep, so the person who departed will be like in sleep. He will not know anything. You do know anything? What happens in sleep? Nothing. What I want to say here, where people talk about photographs of the subtle body. Please understand, you can take the photograph of things which reflect light. But subtle body, being the subtle, imperceptibly subtle, it does not reflect light, cannot reflect light. Therefore, it cannot be photographed. See, clear? Somebody comes and shows this is the spirit of somebody, ghost of somebody, don't believe. Is it clear? It's because part of my teaching. Because people come and they go to these YouTube and these sort of things and come back and tell me all those things. That's why I'm saying we don't need to be very clear. You can go by subtle body itself is indestructible. What about I? Very interesting, isn't it? We'll leave it for next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.